Welcome to Love and Lordship Live. I'm Greg Williams, and we're glad you're joining us, and hope you invited family and friends to join us now, or pass it on and share it, and they can watch it later on. We really appreciate that. Just a little update on the book. I just got to say this. The Lord is opening doors that only He can open. And so it's very evident. I'll share more as it comes to fruition, but there's several things that are happening here with the book. And some of them are going to be interviews and in circulations. Some of them are podcasts. Some of them are ministries that are reviewing it. Others have already said, we'll partner with you. And we want to give back to them. We don't want it. The Lord laid on my heart, if you're a ministry or an organization, like-minded organization for the kingdom and for the gospel of Jesus Christ, we want to partner, and immediately we're going to give back 20% of the profits to your ministry or your organization. And that's a minimum, okay? And so we'll trust the Lord to do what He wants, but He's already opening doors with some major local and national and international organizations. So check out The Authority of Love on our website, or you can find it on Amazon or Google, The Authority of Love by Greg and Amy Williams. And thank you for your prayers in that. We've been spending the last several weeks building more on this love and worship message in The Authority of Love that's in the book. And we started with authority and lordship of Christ. We moved into our discipleship response. In the last several weeks, we've been spending it on building relationships according to His word and commands. Remember, hundreds of commands, no demands. So He tells us what's best for us. It's up to us as whether we want to lovingly obey or not. He gives us that choice. But there's fruit either way, remember? And God can't be a liar. So we've moved into relationships, and in the last 3 or 4 weeks, it was about the highest of human relationships in marriage. And this week, we begin to talk about the next step in God's covenant order. This is God's design. And we've all messed it up somewhere. So, but remember this. Just because we've messed it up doesn't mess up His truth. He still has a way of doing this that's best. So while there is grace for all of us that have messed it up somewhere along the line, we still want to teach and work to model His covenant order and design. And so that next step in that order from relationships and marriages is into families and parenting. So we're going to look at family and parenting and God's design over the next 2 to 3 weeks. And I want to start with a couple of scriptures that really lay a foundation for this. Proverbs 24, 3 and 4 states this. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding and knowledge it is established, and through knowledge its rooms are filled with all rare and precious and pleasant memories. How many of you want that for your home? Every time I ask that, every hand goes up. Every couple and man I sit with goes, you know what you're really after? You're after a home of peace and memories and pleasant household. And they go, yeah, that's it. That's what I want, one way or another. Well, there it is. By wisdom. Fear of God's the beginning of wisdom. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Go back and check these articles, podcasts, and videos out at loveandworship.com. You can find any one of these. So let me ask you. I said, everyone I sit with or talk with wants it. Do you want it? Absolutely you do. It'd make all the difference in the world. What's in the way? Well, is it work? Is it fame? Is it addictions? Is it sin? Whatever it is, God has an order in which you can walk in that order by His grace through faith and watch that kind of peace and joy come, and your rooms and house are filled with precious and pleasant memories. The second one is this from Psalm 127, verse 1a and then 3 through 5. He says this, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And over to verse 3. Behold, children are a gift, a reward, a heritage, different translations say, of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. I better say that again because that's a tongue twister. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Imagine what we do to that fruit every time we have an abortion. So sad. There's grace. There's forgiveness. But that's why so many people live with that nightmare the rest of their lives and that pressure and that burden. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man, the husband and wife, the family whose quiver is full of them. Marriage and family, it's directly from a book. Marriage and family are both the building blocks and a reflection of Christ's church. Wonder why his church is not reflecting real well today. In many cases in our culture, it simply is not. The culture just discards us. They're even trying to shut us down because they've moved away from what might they think to we don't care what they think, just silence them. That's because we've not paid attention to God's covenant order in many ways. If we're not getting it right in the home, we won't get it right in the churches. You notice the parallel in today's culture? My prayer, my hope above all else in this book, The Authority of Love, in the Love and Lordship Ministry, in my own marriage and family, through my children, through my friendships, through discipleship, is to encourage everyone, but especially those who call Christ Lord, to recognize God's divine covenant order from creation to Christ to his return. I pray that you will be willing, as his disciples, or if you don't know him, call us and talk to us about what it means for him to be Savior, and then we can walk with you to develop you and mature you as a disciple under his lordship. My prayer is that we live it out first in our marriages and families, as is applicable, in order to strengthen his church and build his kingdom accordingly. This message is that the Lord has laid on my heart, and I've been sharing it for over 25 years, has helped hundreds, if not thousands now, to walk in his divine order, see the blessing, his blessing, in their lives and homes. I got a guy behind the camera right now that's nodding his head, shaking his head. Yes, absolutely. And be a blessing in his church and beyond. His design, plan, and purpose from Genesis, marriage, for this reason, man leave his mother, father, cleave his wife to become one, right? To Revelation, a wedding feast begins with marriage in the home. Dennis Rainey, the founder of Family Life, along with his wife Barbara, one of the best marriage and family organizations in the world today, said this: every family is a little church. Now, marriage, if you know their ministry, marriage is certainly implied and intended in that quote. In line with God's word and order, if we are not doing the job in our little churches, our marriages and families, then it matters little how much we're doing in our big churches. There's a big part of the issue today in our churches. God is faithful to use our sincere efforts and always has, but he calls us and desires that we follow his design of loving relationships in marriage and family. And as we do that, I believe he has much more in store for our lives and can and will use us to ignite his church and impact a lost and dying world. He uses all of it, but if we do it his way, they're going to see much more of him. Winston Churchill said this: there is no doubt that it is around the family and the home that all the greatest virtues, the most dominating virtues of human society, are created, strengthened, and maintained. You know what the Lord was talking about when he said, those who build the house, if the Lord does not build the house, the labor labors in vain. Wasn't talking about brick and mortar, he was talking about that. The greatest virtues being taught, the character being instilled, the fruit of the Spirit maturing in their lives. We've heard over and over again that youth are leaving the church and their faith, even when they go off to college, or as they go off to college, I should say. And the stats somewhat bear this out, although there are some that are returning, less and less every year, it seems like, during and after the college years. Ken Ham, the founder of the Creation Museum, Answers in Genesis and the Ark Encounter, here in Kentucky, by the way, wrote a book entitled Already Gone. And in that book, he postulates with some research, it's kind of loose, but I've asked some other researchers if they thought that the research was good. Oh, it's okay, it's not real strong. Is the sentiment right? Absolutely. That most of our youth are checking out mentally and spiritually, not in the college years, but in the early teens and middle school years. Guess what? Remember the Hebrew context? That's when they start to become a young adult and think for themselves. And if we haven't laid that foundation and done what I'm going to talk about here in the next few minutes, this is why they're checking out then. He said that they simply continue to attend church as parents have the keys, the wallets, and the final say. It just becomes evident when they get out on their own, i.e. the college years in many cases. He goes on to say in the book, church today is mostly driven by man-made traditions and not by the biblical mandates to defend the Word of God and live by the Word of God. In God's design and mandate, discipleship is to begin in the home, and the church benefits and is stronger when this happens. Don't miss this. When it's not happening, there's not enough church to overcome what is lacking in the home. God designed them to go hand in hand. Matter of fact, the leaders, we're going to talk about this later on, are supposed to come from our homes, not from our community, our businesses, our corporations, or our institutions. Doesn't mean they can't come from there, but they got to be doing it in the home. Huge mandate that we have overlooked, greatly overlooked. Since God is our perfectly heavenly Father, we would be wise to seek His counsel for good parenting. Duh, right? Okay? It's very clear in His Word what He expects of us as parents. So let me share a few with you, three in particular. Number one, parents are the primary, I got this highlighted in my notes, primary and priority disciplers and educators of their children. In Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9, Moses has gathered the leaders of all the tribes. Do you know who that was? No slight on you women. It's not a slight at all. It's just the way God designed it. The responsibility lay with the fathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers. That's who he gathered, the leaders of the families, all the tribes and the clans. He wanted to share the most important things that God had told him. Make sure you get this through to them, all right? And not only that, but do it in such a way that they know they have to impress it on future generations. Because you're going to go and possess a land, the promised land, and if you don't get this, you're going to lose it. That's basically what he's saying. If you get this, I will be with you and bless you all along. If you don't, you're going to lose that. Right on the verge of receiving all that God had promised their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, here are the four things that were of paramount importance. The number one thing that parents are the primary and priority disciples and educators of their children. There's four. The first two are going to sound really familiar. The Lord our God, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Worship God alone. In Deuteronomy 6, 4. In Deuteronomy 6, 5, he continues with that. Again, familiar. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Gee, I wonder where that's gone to. That can't happen an hour or two or three sitting in church. That has to be done the way he said this. Follow me here. The third part of this that he said, these laws and commands, these disciplines, guidelines, foundations, and boundaries that I'm giving you, make sure that you teach them to your children. Post them and teach them everywhere and at all times. This needs to come through the very pores of your being. He literally says it this way. When you lie down and when you get up, are you teaching your children my way? When you sit around the table, are you teaching your children my way? When you go out of the house and when you come back in the house and when you walk along the streets, are you teaching your children my way? No, we're just sending them to church for two or three hours a week. I don't think that gets the job done. Evidence, as Ken Ham has said, and the research shows, it's not getting the job done. Well, the church is doing that for us. I've had guys and fathers and grandfathers in tears when I teach this and say, they go, we did it exactly the way you said. In church all the time, we tried to do what we could, modeled it, but we didn't spend the time to do it. And I'm going to go over that in a minute. And our children don't want to have anything to do with the church or the Lord or anything. Need to take God at His word. The fourth one is there. He finishes by saying, don't forget God's goodness. Live a life of gratitude based on your understanding that God has been good and will continue to be good, even when it's tough. Parents, we are to take the first and highest responsibility for training up our children, not the school and their teachers, not the government, not coaches, not even pastors and ministers. All of these can and should play a role and help, but we must make sure that what is being taught, and even more importantly, caught, begins with and ends with us and is in line with God's words and commands. Second thing that we understand from God's word, discipling and educating our children requires our time and effort to know them and to train them. We find in both the Old and New Testaments what is required of parents. Most of you are familiar with Proverbs 22:6, which simply says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. that is echoed in Ephesians 6:4, again, with the fathers being the primary, but parents in general, focal point here, the command is this: fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline, the instruction, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Allow me to clarify, because you see what we've done is we said, oh, I did that. I took them to church. Well, for already you've moved away from what God said it would take to impress this upon your children. When you sit down, when you lie down, when you get up, when you go out, when you come in, when you walk in the streets. Oh, I thought 2 hours a week might get it done. Doesn't. It doesn't. I'm not condemning anyone. I'm just encouraging and challenging you to hear God's word and to what he's doing. I had to learn to do that as well. There's an ancient proverb that you may have heard, bend a tree when it's young. Now, this is an excellent interpretation and explanation of Proverbs 22, and for that matter, 22:6, and for that matter, Ephesians 6:4, for two reasons. First of all, bending a tree requires ongoing attention and effort, just as children do. You ever try to bend a 50-year-old oak tree? Even if you have power equipment, a backhoe, a bulldozer, everything, you can't bend it. All you can do is break it, which says something, right? About what we may end up doing to our children, or what God may have to do to break their will, since we didn't do that and help them die to themselves to live for Christ. That's discipleship. That's a big part of what we've got to do. You can't just bend the tree once and expect it to stay in place. The same is true with children, as is strongly implied in the Hebrew text of Proverbs 22:6. As parents, the Hebrew translation is, you must continually pour into them. We must get to know them, their personality, strengths and weaknesses, their developing attitudes, good and bad, and help correct those and encourage the bad ones and encourage the good ones. Teach and train them in character consistently over time and be there to help them navigate the struggles and trials. This can't be done with occasional gifts of time, money, and stuff. It requires our time, our presence, our self. One of the greatest deceptions from the pits of hell is quality time equals quantity time. You see, you just moved away from God's teaching, his word. Fathers, parents, who have fallen for that lie have damaged many a child. One of the greatest recipes for rebellion is to give the disciplines, guidelines, foundations, boundaries for developing character, and then be a father, mother, parent who does not walk in the integrity of those disciplines and or only shows up to reward or punish as it is called for. Let me say it a different way. Far too many children have been victims of parents who come home from work or the road only to administer punishment and demand obedience without being present to model that behavior or build a relationship. Rules minus relationship equals rebellion. You can take that to the bank, okay? I'm not condemning anyone. I'm saying, and if you've already guilty of that, start today. Model it, live it in such a way. I don't care if you have grown children that are struggling. You want to begin to repair that relationship, do it God's way. Worship him alone. Love him with all you are. Know and love who you are as he teaches you who you are in Christ. And then pour that love into your children again. Do it his way, not the world's way, and not the church's culturally, culturally sacrificed. We give over to the culture rather than doing it God's way. We think we found shortcuts. We get the same results. Parents, train your children in the way they should go by first walking that path yourself. Now, Monty Wilkinson, he's the lead minister at Northeast Christian Church here in Lexington, Kentucky, was in our wedding, and I consider him a good friend. He shared a wonderful maxim with me when he found out we were expecting our first child. Children are the greatest blessing and greatest burden all rolled into one. I not only found this to be true, but I've elaborated on it with many in my conferences and in counseling, and you'll find it in here, okay, in the book, The Authority of Love. God's word declares that children are a reward and a heritage. We read that in Psalm 127, right? If we only see the burden, then we miss the joys of his blessings to us as a reward and a heritage. Scripture also declares that there is a burden in the responsibility of training our children up in the Lord. Proverbs 22:6 and Ephesians 6:4 again. If we only look for the blessings, then we will miss the lessons and the needed pruning in our lives and in our children's lives as well. I don't want to miss either one of those. I need the burdens and I need the blessings. Let me share with you five ways very quickly that we can exasperate or frustrate our children. And later on down the road, I'll give some insights as to how we can build them up beyond being careful and reversing the following. Okay? I know these are reversing. I'll give you even more later on. Okay? Five ways that parents frustrate their children. Number one, hover over everything they do and make every decision for them. Number two, enforce a lot of rules without building a relationship. Number three, which means it takes your time and your presence and yourself. Number three, play the comparison game. Compare them with siblings or others. Just let them be who they are. Help them grow to be the greatest them they can be. All right? Number four, pay minimal attention or listen to your children. Number five, make your love conditional. Children spot this very quickly. Now, our third point from Scripture is the priorities in the priorities and commitments that we must make to parent our children in the Lord's way. This is as follows. Number three, the message from God's Word is that parenting must begin and continue with us in our families and might not be abdicated to the church, the school, or any other place. Integrity in life, marriage, and parenting makes for authenticity and walking in the true authority that we've been given in Christ. I can't tell you how many times parents have talked with me about their teen and adult children rebelling and walking away from the faith. They tell their parents that they either wanted nothing to do with the faith and love that they saw in their parents' marriage, or they could see that their parents didn't love each other and they wanted nothing to do with that. By the way, they talk to each other. Don't miss what I'm saying here. Number three is that one of the greatest things you can give, Dr. James Dobson said, folks, on The Family years ago, the two greatest things you can give your children are a strong faith and a loving marriage. You do that and you're well on your way to parenting your children. Now, there's other things here, but you show them that and they will be willing to respond to that. Trust in God and His Word to help you model and disciple your children as the parents God has called you to be. Some love and worship food for thought here, okay? Let's be faithful to God's Word and His covenant order and the responsibility we've been given to train up our children the way they should go. Not the compromised cultural way, okay? Model it and teach it first and foremost. Proverbs 27. Go check that out. I've got all these linked in the article at loveandlordship.com. Proverbs 27 talks about what will happen when we model this and live it for our children. We'll see it in them. Churches, pastors, youth ministers, schools, teachers, coaches can all help. But we are first responsible and held accountable to disciple our children in Christ. Four action items. Read the scriptures in this article. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal where you are in parenting your children with regard to His Word. Make sure that what I'm saying is in line with His Word. If I miss it, go to His Word, not what I'm saying. Everything I've done is taken from the Scripture, okay? But you go first there. Number two, list ways you model, that you are now modeling the character, the integrity, and the purity that you want to see in your children. There's some tough things there. List ways that you are modeling the character, integrity, and purity that you want to see in your children, and ways that you're not. Number three, list the things that you want to change in yourself and your parenting. I got a good book, and there are many others out there, but this will help you, I promise you. Discuss how your marriage is impacting your parenting and your family. Next week, we're going to continue with family and parenting and God's design. So join us again and invite others to do the same. If you need help with any of this, contact us. 859-229-6504 is my cell. Please contact me. Send me a message. Text me. Call me. Or you can reach me through email, loveandwardship@gmail.com. Spell it all out, just like that. loveandwardship@gmail.com. Or you can send me a message on Facebook, okay? Now, I know that's a little more difficult because send me a private message. Click on there and send a private message. So I'll get it through Love and Worship, or you can go to Gregory Scott Williams is my page, okay? I just want to be able to help you if you're struggling with this. We are in mid-year, and we are in fundraising again. I don't mention a lot, but when I do, I simply say, will you pray and ask the Lord to show you if this ministry is worthy of your support and if He's leading you to do so. We are getting ready to move out, it looks like, at this point in the next few months, into our independent nonprofit, and that will require more, so it's a step of faith. Will you please pray with us about that? And let me know that you're praying, please. That's the greatest thing you can do. I promise the Lord will take care of the rest. Will you pray with us? If He moves on your heart to support us financially, would you be faithful to follow through in that, whatever that may mean? And if not, you keep praying until He shows you where He wants you to give for His kingdom. And then you'll be obedient in that. Love and Lordship is here to help you live joyfully and build healthy, fulfilling relationships in the love and Lordship of Jesus Christ. We don't charge for any of this. So if you can help us, thank you. But if you need help, call. Appreciate your prayers and support. If your church or group would like to partner with us, have Love and Lordship come and share some of this in the book and the ministry, please let me know. Again, email, text, message, however you can get a hold of me. I would love to talk with you about that. We desire to make disciples who make disciples in the love and Lordship of Jesus Christ in every home and every church. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks always to the Lord. Make it a great day, and God bless in Christ.